Hello, everybody, and welcome to Procaffeinators.
I'm Amy.
I'm Angelica.
And I'm Alexandra. This whole episode is just our pilot episode, so you guys get to learn a little bit more about us and what we're going to be talking about during this podcast.
So what we're going to be talking about is essentially what you need a cup of coffee to go through.
Exactly, yeah. What is a procaffeinator, Mama?
Meaning us? What are we? A procaffeinator? People who are pro-caffeine. They need to, in my definition, is people who need caffeine to get going in the day. It's like that happy pill.
Right, and Wikipedia's definition is someone who cannot function without the use of caffeine, which...
I don't go that far.
I mean...
It's close, but not quite, right?
Yeah,
we're healthy, stable adults.
100%, totally.
We don't eat no coffee. We just run it really, really bad.
Yeah. When we are doing this show, you guys are going to hear a lot of sipping of things. That would be our... coffee.
I don't sip.
Oh, whatever. Gulp. Either way, if you hear any sort of beverage, that is our caffeine fix of the day. You know, talking about caffeine fix, what cup of coffee are we all on? I'm on two.
Do we need to talk about that?
Oh, no, Angelica.
It is currently 1 p.m. and I'm on my third cup of coffee.
Nice. Rolling in. Okay.
I am on my second.
Nice. Very cool, Mama. Now, Angelica and I are going to be constantly calling Amy Mama because she is...
Our mom.
Yeah, we're all related. So Angelica and I are sisters, and we have our lovely mother here. Let's tell them what this podcast is all about.
We're going to be talking about different topics over cups of coffee. So it's very fun, family-oriented around the coffee table, if you will, conversations about things we're interested in, and we hope you're interested in them too.
Yes, our microphone is literally on a coffee table. Throughout this podcast, we kind of just want to talk about things that we're interested in. It doesn't really matter what the topic is about. It's more how we feel about the topic, our thoughts on the topic. And, you know, all of the things we talk about, these are just based on our opinions. We will have some research for some topics if it's necessary. But this is just something fun for people to listen to.
And if you have anything you're interested in that you want us to talk about, write in. Let us know.
Anything.
And we'll discuss deeply.
Oh, yes.
And energetically.
Yeah, let us know what you've talked with people about while having coffee. Because
yeah.
I think, how many times do we hear, hey, let's get together for coffee?
Mm-hmm.
So coffee is a powerful uniter.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, it's wonderful to be able to just... have a warm cup of coffee and discuss an idea, a feeling, or just hang out with someone that you haven't hung out with in a long time.
Think about us as those old-fashioned coffee houses in podcast format, you know, where they used to meet up and talk about politics and what's going on in the world. We might not hit on politics because, you know, we're not politicians, but we'll talk about stuff.
Yeah, so grab a cup of coffee and join us.
Let's talk about our experiences with coffee for this first podcast. Either most memorable, favorite, or first experience with caffeine.
Mm-hmm. So I think caffeine always brings me a memorable emotion, something soothing. When I was a child, I'm Cuban, so my mother used to give me, you know, warm milk at night. Well, my warm milk had Cuban coffee in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cafe con leche, and that's what I would drink before I would go to bed, and I did sleep through the night. So to me, it was always a relaxing feeling. So there was definitely, and still is, an emotional connection to coffee, which is, this is soothing, and it's kind of meditational. There's a whole bunch of components around it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why when you do want to enjoy someone's company, you can turn around and say, let's have coffee. I do. I say, you know, let's go and grab coffee. And that to me is going to be an enjoyable moment, hopefully between the two of us and or three. But the reality is that, you know, now we incorporate the teas, which also have a component of caffeine in. But regardless, it's connecting the emotion to a ritual. So to me, having coffee is very ritualistic, and it's very cultural. So it's exciting. And I think that it's important when you're having any type of discussion with anyone to make sure that the energy in the room is where you need it to be, and coffee brings that to me.
So true.
Yeah, right?
That's cool. Yeah, I never thought of it that way before.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. And even when we go visit Peepo, your grandfather, the first thing he'll do is when you get there is, let me make you coffee.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, again, it's a welcoming ritual, right? So I think it's really cool. I think it's heartwarming. I totally respect those people who don't like coffee because I think it is an acquired taste. But I also think that it's pretty cool that there's such an emotional connection.
And Mama, what is your preferred coffee?
You know, it's interesting. It's changed throughout. But basically, it's American coffee with a little bit of cream, not a lot. Not sweet. Some people put like 7 packs in there, which
I
am at awe at it because I don't know how that can happen.
But we get close with keeping coffee.
But to me, I'll tell you a quick experience with me and Cuban coffee. Like I grew up with Cuban coffee when I was my first year as an undergrad in college. I was working 2 jobs and going to college at night. I went across the street. There was a Chinese-Cuban restaurant across the street, and I asked for Cuban coffee, and they gave me the regular cup of coffee to go, cup full of Cuban coffee, which, you know, Cuban coffees are shots.
Yes.
So I sat in class, and I gulped it down because I was so tired, and all of a sudden, I felt electrical energy in my brain.
Oh, no.
Like, seriously, I thought I was going to bounce off the
like
walls.
An LSD of coffee.
So I stopped having, I think the headache lasted 2 days, and I kind of weaned, I didn't have Cuban coffee. I'm not a heavy Cuban coffee drinker. So,
yeah, you normally have coffee going on, so you really try to stay away from that.
And as I get older, you know, I don't have milk at all, so...
Yeah,
it's really just a tinge of milk. I think it's only to keep that, what we talk about rituals, you know, it's keeping that memory of, oh, that's light. I can't drink something black.
Yeah.
So I'll put the cream in it to give it color. And then it's, you know, it's fine.
The whole mental state.
Yeah.
Of it.
Yeah. And it is. Everything we eat or drink is really in our heads, right?
Yeah.
If we don't like it, we don't drink it. If we don't like how it smells, feels, or looks.
It's like coming around the peace pipe in a way. Yeah. Like Joseph Campbell would say, we need those rituals in our lives to keep our mental state like intact. Like we're doing things with reason and with intention, and this is part of the day and like a grandiose part of our lives. So it's interesting, like, and it's true. So many cultures have something like coffee or some thing that they come around to enjoy. And it's usually a drug. And caffeine's a drug. It enhances your mood. It enhances your energy.
Yeah.
And so it's funny how even in modern society, we have that little thing that is widely accepted in our culture. And it has that same ritualistic effect mentally.
And I think that's important. Rituals are extremely important. It gives us a sense of peace of mind.
Yeah, definitely.
Lovely. Angelica, should this be a nice ASMR? Never. No, her eyes just got 10 times larger when I said that.
I don't like ASMR.
It gives you the bad tingles.
It gives me weird tingles.
So you guys want to explain ASMR? Because I just recently learned about that.
Okay, yeah.
I
don't get it.
I get it. I just am not a fan.
No.
So if you guys could just explain that for those
Basically,
my age level.
Yeah, if you don't know what ASMR is, I don't know what the full acronym stands for, but basically it's an audio
sensory
whatever, and it gives you certain tingles in your spine or back of the head or something like that. But these are your comfort and discomfort feelings, you know. Some people use it for falling asleep. Some people use it for just relaxing. It comforts certain people. And what people have said is it gives them good, quote unquote, good tingles. I forgot you guys can't see me. I did air quotes.
She did air quotes to the microphone.
I did.
As though she's telling the microphone.
So if I can understand this correctly, it's one person, two person,
however people, many people, right?
They make sound effects like brushing their hair.
Brushing their hair, brushing their teeth, eating something, just talking. The ones I like, which are called ASMR, are like, it's literally an audiobook. It's like what you guys are listening to right now, a podcast. But, you know, we're not loudly laughing like we do. And they might read you a story to fall asleep. Those I get.
Just talking about it, honestly, it
makes you feel funky.
Feel like I should be fidgeting. Like, for me, I don't know what it is, but it's like the same concept as drawing detailed drawings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like there are these master artists who can just, like, for example, building,
mm-hmm.
draw every brick on the building,
mm-hmm.
in precise detail, and that just makes me want to fidget.
Yeah, right.
I am not a surgeon. I am not Dr. Material.
No.
So to me, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Listening to them. But again,
look, now I'm like freaking out.
So for any of you who still can't see it in your heads what it is, I would highly suggest that you Google it. Go and watch one. Have a cup of coffee while you are watching one, because
or a cup of wine because you will
need to be relaxed and soothed by the end, because unless you're really into this, you're going to get a little annoyed.
You're gonna feel like you're chewing on, I'm getting goosebumps even explaining this. You're gonna feel like you're chewing on a dry piece of paper towel or something.
Yeah.
But when you're right.
What I like about this specific conversation is this is exactly what goes on in a coffee shop. These conversations about these topics out of, you know, just out of, hey, let's have coffee. And then all of a sudden we spur this conversation like we did now. And it's great because this is exactly what Procaffeinators is all about.
Yes,
this is who we are.
We will be bringing you our personal,
stimulating and opinionated conversations.
I'm bringing you personal inquiries.
Yes,
this is our truth.
Yeah.
And
oh God,
we love to hear your truth.
Oh yeah, if you guys have any topics that irk you or anything that just makes you laugh or things that you want to know, like, is this weird?
Share your world with us.
Yeah. We're non-judgmental. Judgmental. I can talk.
If we judge you, we'll take a sip of coffee.
Loudly. So, Angelica, what is your first or favorite or whatever experience with caffeine that you would like to share with the class?
So, I think my experience is going to be similar to Mama's, and I think you're going to be the same way,
mm-hmm.
because Mima and Pipo were really my first experience with coffee. And
mm-hmm.
Mima and Pipo, grandfather and grandmother on my mother's side. Side note. And footnote.
Just a little footnote.
Yeah. And we spent a lot of time over at their house as kids because,
mm-hmm.
you know, Mama was working. And instead of going to daycare, we experienced family caretaking,
yeah.
which is awesome because they were awesome. And, you know, I love them. But we picked up on a lot of things really interesting to think about it now,
mm-hmm.
That Mama probably picked up on while she was getting raised in a different way. Cause you know, like we're spoiled grandchildren. She was the first victim. And so I remember people teaching me how to dunk Cuban bread in café con leche. And then one of my favorite memories that I like to talk about is you remember, like, their guest bedroom. And we used to sleep in the guest bedroom. And Tia would always come in, and she would, like, check on us at night and whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would keep her in there because I didn't want to go to sleep
with her. Our bedtime was maybe, like, around 8, and Jekyll would be keeping her there until, like, 10, 30, 11.
I'd start this long conversation with her.
And she knew what she was doing, but she loves us so much that she just thought it was funny, and she would just keep the conversation going.
So I remember she's like, oh, do you need something to help you fall asleep? And I said, yeah, can I have Cuban coffee? So then she comes back and she brings me a shot of Cuban coffee.
Yeah.
And it did. It made me feel relaxed. Like, I could sleep. And I just remember, like, next to us, we had this,
that
white
wicker thing, which we now have in the office.
Yeah. Recycling furniture.
Oh, yeah.
And the Cuban coffee, I just remember visually that shot of Cuban coffee emptied at that point.
Oh, yeah.
on that bookshelf. And that's, like, one of my favorite first memories of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, yeah, it's awesome. So now whenever I drink Cuban coffee, like, I still love Cuban coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that feeling of family and warmth and, like, this is comfort. Like, no matter what's going on, no matter how wired it makes me feel afterward, the initial feeling is, oh, this is comforting. This is warmth.
Yeah. And Angelica, what is your preferred coffee of choice?
That's hard.
It's so hard.
I like to dabble and try everything, but lately I like my coffee black and strong. Yeah, even espresso, I like anything. I don't have a specific blend or anything that I'm ultra interested in,
mm-hmm.
but I like it bold and black.
Yeah. You like
cream.
Tea a lot.
I like
mm-hmm.
tea too.
That's a form of caffeine, yeah.
Yeah, also I don't like putting milk in my tea. Sometimes if I'm sick, I'll put lemon in my tea.
That's really good for you.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, putting the lemon and
mm-hmm.
honey and ginger.
It makes me think of putting things in tea, makes me think of National Treasure. You know,
yes.
When he goes to the gate and at the gate they ask, how do you take your tea? And he's like, they're like, lemon or sugar? And Nick Cage is like, neither. And the guy at the gate's like, perfect answer.
God, I love Nick Cage, man. Oh, my goodness. That's fun.
What about you, Alexandra?
Me? My first experiences are very similar to, you know, your guys's. Our grandparents on our mother's side, me, mom, people, were very big on giving us caffeine when we were little because it's just tradition.
They like giving us Coca-Cola, too.
Oh, yeah, Coca-Cola. That's like, oh, you don't feel good? Here's some Coca-Cola. It'll make you feel better. And, like, you know, that was just the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Sprite,
ginger ale. I mean, like, those were all your feel-good
mm-hmm.
things. And bread. And I think my favorite memory is, like, learning how to make café cubano with Pipo. And he taught me, because I would always see him making it in the kitchen. And mind you, I'm a child. I think I was, like, 6 to 8, right, when he first taught me, like, how to make it. And I wasn't allowed to operate anything hot, just, you know, fill the correct proportions so I could learn. And he was showing me, it was, like, forbidden to go into the kitchen when the adults were in there. So I walked in and I snuck behind and I was like, people, how do you make this? Because I was drinking it already at that time. And he goes, okay, I'll show you, no problem. And he shows me how much sugar he puts in. It was like 4 tablespoons of sugar. 4 tablespoons of sugar you put in there, the water, all of this stuff. And I thought it was magic because I, you know, as a kid, you're like, wait, how's it come out as liquid? What? So, you know, that whole memory was so fun because it made my grandfather so happy that, like, I wanted to learn something from him. And then, like, while it was brewing, he had this thing where if he wanted to give us a treat, he would take a slice of ham and wrap it in a slice of cheese, and then he would, like, give it to you, and that was, like, your reward, I guess. It was so funny.
Because we're all dogs in the end.
Because we're all dogs in the end. He loves animals, by the way. So treats are, like, his affection.
He treats himself, too. No worries.
Oh, guys. Yeah. He gives himself ham and cheese all the time, too. But I think that's, like, one of my favorite memories because, like we were saying, it's a tradition, it's a ritual, it's, like, all this other stuff. And that's the tradition for him. You know, he taught me how to make a nice cup of Cuban coffee and make it strong and jam-packed with sugar. Which is actually funny because you guys remember Jessica from Nova?
Yes.
The professor?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So it's funny because she would bring Cuban coffee to the office in the PVA, which I used to work at. And Jug and I used to do theater classes over there, and we were theater majors at NSU. Anyways, so while I was working in the office, she would bring in Cuban coffee. And she goes, "Do you want some?" I go, "Oh my goodness, you are a lifesaver." And she gave me a little shot, drank it, and it had no sugar. And I go, "Jessica, blasphemy, what is this?" And she goes, "Oh my gosh, everyone in the office can't handle the sugar. I don't know what it is, so I have to put mine in after."
You know, I think that's one of the coolest things about living in South Florida and, like, kind of, like, living with your culture in
a
way,
yeah,
is, like, so many workplaces, they have that person, and there's that one person who brings in Cuban coffee shots and passes it around. Like, I remember in school, like, I don't know if it was elementary school or high school, but someone would come around from the office to the teachers and say, "Hey, you want this?" And we'd all be jealous because we all wanted the Cuban coffee. And then,
or like when they had that cappuccino cart for teacher appreciation
day.
Oh, I was so mad.
And then, in working in an office, it's the same thing. There's this one person, this one lady, and she has, like, a Cuban coffee maker, like, that metal. I've never used that. Metal thing.
The little pot,
And she makes it all the time. And then, like, with Jessica,
she brings it in. I mean, she brings it in a nice cup. And if you've ever worked in an office, you know, like, when you bring something in, you should really bring it in for the whole office. Like, if it's a treat thing, it's like, it's nice to do that. So, like, one of the rules was, if you're even 5 minutes late to work, you better go grab donuts and coffee and bring it in. And then, like, that's your apology. That's a ritual. That's a ritual. So I thought that was so funny. Even in elementary school, when we did president for a day, it's like this thing that sometimes a school does for students. They auction off a president for the day. Or not a president, a principal. Principal for the day.
Okay.
So, God, that would have been real confusing. It was principal for a day. So, like, a kid would be a supposed principal with a false feeling of power. And really, all you did is you skipped class that day. You hung out in the office with the principal and vice principal and all the office ladies who, honestly, were the greatest people ever. And our principal, Miss Sandusky, one of the best principals in the entire world.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh. She gave a stack of homework passes and she had me sign them all. And she's like, "Okay, as principal, you are to pass these out to the children who you think are behaving well." And I would go, that was so great. I would go from class to class with this, like, high and mighty personality. I'm like, "I'm the principal, guys. You better behave." In the office, there was Mrs. Perez. Do you remember Mrs. Perez?
Yes.
She brought in a whole cup of Cuban coffee. And I was only in seventh grade. And all of them looked at me and they're like, "You drink this, don't you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I drink it all the time."
Yeah, those were the office staff.
Yeah, the office staff. Yeah, so the office staff, who were basically, like, second moms to a lot of the kids. Because if you were hurt or something, you know, you would go in there and they would take care of you. And the whole office staff was like, "Oh my gosh, give her coffee, give her coffee." They poured me.
So you got coffee
a shot.
You were principal for the day.
That was, like, the thought, like, my thought.
That's awesome.
Remember, boys and girls, become a principal because you'll get coffee.
Oh my god,
every
I felt
day.
So good about myself. I was in seventh grade. I'm like, I am one of them. They gave me the little coffee.
I have passed the clouds in Mount Olympia.
Oh my goodness, it was so much
fun.
I think
you talking about that and how culture. I think Starbucks changed the culture of coffee. For kids, because how many kids do you get? Lauren, our goddaughter, my goddaughter niece, she goes into Starbucks and she can order.
Oh, yeah. So easy too.
And
since she was like, what, 8?
Yeah, but she orders this whatever, you know, there's like
usually some kind of like milkshake,
detailed
frappuccino
with, you know, whatever.
Which they call something else because it's not, well, before she used to not do any caffeine at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
but now she does.
Now she does, but they used to make, like, they had an alternative.
They're called creams, I think they're called.
Yeah. So, like, kids have that mentality already that it's like, oh, I walk into a coffee shop and
right.
I can order.
Training.
And even in on TV, you see kids in high school drinking coffee, they're holding their coffee cup. And when I go to Dunkin' Donuts as well, if you go in the morning on a weekday, the school near us, you know, you'll have all these kids in uniform.
All the children.
Before they get to school.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grabbing coffee.
And you have you ever listened to their conversations in line? Oh my god, I'm just so tired. I can't believe it. I need this cup of coffee. And it's going to make my day so much better. And I'm like, holy macaroni.
But the funny thing is that once they get that cup of coffee, it's like they've become empowered. They walk out like, I can conquer the day today. This is their whole body image. They walk in dragging. They walk out. They haven't even taken a sip yet.
If you remember high school, they need it more than we do.
Well, yes. It's the hormones.
Oh, goodness
gracious. And I know, you know, I totally think that kids should have coffee when it comes to getting
anything
them a little motivated.
Better.
But
yeah.
But again, it definitely is stimulant in some form. But their whole demeanor changes just by holding that cup of whatever they ordered.
So
it's pretty cool. I mean, just sit. I suggest you sit outside either Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, coffee shop, your local coffee shop. And watch.
Oh my god, I
love
people watching.
You remember the way I was trained, the way I learned how to drive was learning how to drive to Starbucks. That's what Papa would do.
Our dad would host.
Oh, now that you're talking about your dad, I mean, he's a huge coffee drinker.
Oh,
he's the
one
who at home taught me how to brew coffee.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
He also is amazing, and he's not Cuban. He's amazing.
He's white.
He's not Hispanic. He is from Chicago.
If any of you know where Stickney, Illinois is, then you know. Welcome, family.
Suburbs.
And he moved to Florida in 1989, and that's when he learned to make Cuban coffee. And he makes it in that old-fashioned Cuban coffee pot.
Yes.
And he can definitely make
he makes a good cup.
I cannot make Cuban coffee. I do not know how. I know the process, the technical process of it.
Right.
Of how to fill it up, how to lock the little thing, how to do everything. But I can't stir the sugar and the foam and do all that great stuff. But I can't do the magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the magic.
Our dad definitely
the magic
does
that
magic.
The men in the family do for us.
I do not have the magic.
I don't know what it is, but all the men in our family, which there are very few, this is a family dominated by ladies. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of them have had one boy bred.
No, we have 4 males.
Which are all husbands.
Right.
Brought in, and everyone keeps having daughters. I'm just saying.
We bought them at auction.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Really? It sounded really bad.
I didn't mean it like that.
We love them so much.
Gosh.
We all have female offspring.
Sure, yeah. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, like, that it's funny because the men in the family make a real good cup of coffee, and then feel like it's because we're always like, Pops, Beepa, can you please make us a cup of coffee?
This is how we choose our partners.
I think Andrew makes really good coffee.
Andrew makes really good hot chocolate.
And Andrew does great trips, too. Andrew is our nephew-in-law, and
our cousin, Jack and I's cousin.
In-law.
It's funny, because he's an attorney.
He's always up for taking the girls.
Starbucks trips.
You guys out to.
100%.
All the girls out to Starbucks. He is the Starbucks driver.
Chauffeur?
I was going to give him a classier.
Chauffeur?
I don't know.
Bootler?
Starbucks bodyguard, I don't know.
Well, he kind of, yeah.
Our Starbucks shaman?
Is he magical?
I have rituals, so I don't go all the way.
Our Starbucks altar boy.
Yeah, we need him.
He leads you. No?
No.
Usher? He leads
okay.
you there?
No, Usher?
No, I don't like that either. We'll have to come up with a name for Andrew. Let's ask him and see what he likes.
Okay.
But these, again, are conversations that we have during our coffee get-together.
Oh, God, yeah.
Nothing has to make sense.
Oh, this is a show?
Oops.
Nothing has to make sense. Nothing has to have an agenda. It's just feel-good conversations. And sometimes we get real creative.
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes
yeah.
we go on a tangent.
But that
sometimes
is just...
we become incredibly intellectual after every sip. We have moments. It's like intellectual
like a
burst
spurt moment.
Of moments. Oh. And we got to capture those because if not, they go away.
Talking about our intellect, let's tell the people just a tiny bit of our background of like what it is that we do in the real world, you know. And the coffee I drink is black. I like black coffee. And then sometimes I treat myself at Dunkin' Donuts to a caramel, what is it? Iced thing with almond milk. I can't
do macchiato.
Yeah. Sure. I can't do real milk. Anyways, proceeding.
I know that because you had to text me that like 5 times so that I could.
Because you forget.
And when I get to the counter, I go, I'm sorry, let me read it because I don't want to get the order wrong. You do not get people's coffee order wrong.
No, that's...
It's scary.
You lose friends that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so intellectually, what are our backgrounds? I say intellectual, but what did we...
Why don't you go first?
I have a bachelor's degree in theater with a concentration in stage and screen acting and a minor in psychology. That is what I went to school for. I love combining the psychological side to the theater side. And Joke and I own a company called This Is Improv, which our mom works with us in as well. And we help people find their funny. We do corporate team building. We teach kids, which are hilarious. And we do one-on-one classes. I mean, there's a whole plethora of things, writing, acting, all this stuff that we like to do within the company. And we just like to help people laugh and have fun.
Understand how to improvise in life.
Yes, because you improvise every day of your life.
Life is a stage.
Life's a stage.
We're the rehearsal.
Thanks. In the words of Mark Duncan, every moment is a moment.
The
first thing like he said in acting class. Anyways. All right.
Thanks, Mark.
I love Mark Duncan. All right. Angelica, your intellectual background.
No. I have a bachelor's in theater
mm-hmm.
and humanities.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I wanted my humanities degree in the first place is because that meant I got to study mythology and I loved mythical creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it morphed into theater.
Yeah.
Which I'm quite happy
Often
about.
Often does.
Yeah. Because it put me to work and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the people and every second of it. And now I'm working on my master's degree in composition, rhetoric, and digital media.
Yep.
And we have This Is Improv together.
Yes.
And I also have corporate training, working in an office, a real life thing.
It is all real life.
Really?
Yes.
We're
Shocker.
Not, we're not in a shell.
No.
This is not the digital world.
So, yeah, that's Angelica. Welcome, Angelica. Oh, and then Mama.
So, I...
her CV's long. Yeah.
We, the family, owns a company called Balloonatics, and we do balloon decor and deliveries. So, that started in 1993 when I decided to go to graduate school. I have a bachelor's in psychology, a master's in mental health, and then a doctorate's in leadership and human services. Which in reality, when we you put every, if you want to package it up, I'm an entrepreneur, and I think we're a family, as you can see, of entrepreneurs with This Is Improv and Balloonatics, and then Zadok Research and Development, which is basically doing research in order to create strategic planning for individuals and companies. And basically what that means is finding that magical moment in someone's life that can change it. So it's like a life editing. And then what we do also is we create different moments through the improv. You know, Alexandra and Angelica, you both bring people in sometimes, and we kind of play with them, the emotional side of it, of like, how can we make you feel better in life? So let's do a rehearsal. So it's a life dress rehearsal kind of through This Is Improv.
Yeah.
And that's the strategic planning, the behavioral strategies of This Is Improv. And then I also teach at Nova Southeastern. I've been there since 1996 in their psychology and neuroscience. And I love that. I love my students. I love learning from them. So that's what we do.
Yeah, I mean,
think it's a package deal. I don't think.
Yeah, we are.
What's
family
funny is that.
Unit.
Yeah, what's funny is that, like, all of our career choices or educational endeavors and things like that all mold together.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's why we brought our mom into the company, and she's been helping us so much because she has so much corporate experience. So, like, that mentality she understands. And then we've helped some of her clients with anxiety and preparing themselves for high school or college or things like that.
I mean, we couldn't have even started the business without our mom as inspiration, because she...
Well,
you know,
yeah, because we're emotional wrecks and you need your mommy.
That's not what I was going for.
Well, I'm just gonna tell you right now, we need our mommy sometimes.
I just think it's great when you train someone at from birth.
She really has. What was it that you told, was it Norma or something?
I have cloned myself.
She has cloned herself.
And that was, you know, it's funny, it's not intentional, but the power of learning through doing. The best way you can teach anybody is just by simply doing it.
Yeah.
And especially kids. And you both could have gone both ways. You could have said, oh my God, I hate the fact that she's working and doing this. And I'm not going to do it and revolt, because it could have got, but you both really found it in yourselves that you saw two parents that just were role models without intention. You know, we knew that we wanted you to be good people. We knew that we wanted you to have good hearts, and we knew that we were working towards you being healthy and happy. Those were the only things we wanted. And the only way we could make sure you did that was through being that.
Yeah, I feel like us, we grew up working with our mom. I mean, that's just how it goes. If there's a family business, for those of you that have family businesses, I think you understand. You bring the family in. I mean,
and
our whole family. It's not like we loved it all the time, but you grow to respect the process of, like, oh, this is what paid for high school? Wow. So
and something clicks. I think that once, you know, there's a point that we are like, you have to do this. You have to come to this job with us.
Right.
You have to do this. Mm-hmm. We need help, and you are family, and you need to help family.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really how the conversations went.
Yeah.
And then through your teens, you hate it. And then it's all of a sudden, it's like a light switch that goes on, and you start understanding it, and you're like, you know, this is what they've been trying to say.
Yeah.
And then that just makes you better people with your own companies. And you work hard, you know, the power and the reward.
Yeah.
And the the tears of owning a business and cherishing it. And most importantly, it becomes your baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like Angelica and I working there showed us, well, first of all, teaches you structure. So if your kids are in high school, they're old enough to get a job, feel like it's a great way to get them structured in a way of like, you know, this is what is expected of you when you leave us. You know, this is how it is with someone who's not your parents giving you instructions on things. You know, you learn to respect other people that you work for, things like that. We worked with clients all the time in the balloon business, and you learn to respect people. You learn to, you know, work with others in that sense. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel so good when you, because balloons are frustrating people. And it makes you feel so good when you're like, oh my God, I made that. And the little girl took a picture with it. And she's like three, but you're like, oh my God, I did it. And like, I feel like those kinds of work ethics are really what brought us to be like how to this table right here drinking coffee.
It's cool too to work with people who have the same values as yourself and things like that, and then understanding the culture and bringing in other people too. Like whenever someone was working with us that had similar values, it meshed a little bit better. And the job got done a little bit easier. Our communication styles kind of matched up.
My goodness.
And we learned how to be leaders.
Little business ladies.
Yeah. Like, we learned how to talk to people, share power.
Yeah.
Like, not necessarily because we were leading a project or something.
No, but you know how to work with people.
Exactly.
Efficiently.
And some people are stronger in some ways than you are, maybe. And how do you communicate with someone like that? How do you work with someone like that?
Mm-hmm.
And it really taught us how to get a job done in
an effective and safe and healthy way, you know?
Yeah.
That's all you really want in a business, a nice, healthy work environment.
Yeah. And values, I think, is a huge component. We talk about values and having the same values and in relationships. What makes a relationship work? Well, you have to have the same values.
Exactly.
And that's in any relationship, which we kind of forget. We meet someone in a dating scenario. We think, oh my God, they're so cute, XYZ. But do they share the same values?
Yeah.
In business, it's the values. And then let's add the principle. Do you walk in with the same principles of running a business, you know? So
right.
I remember sitting in on one of your classes where you were talking about relationships, and I never forgot that communication and how all relationships that essentially are just relationships, and to have that shared communication, those shared values.
Right.
And it really sticks with you because you tend to forget because it changes or like
titles
you put
involved,
on it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because how many friends do you all have, but how many friends are so different, right? So, but you know that you can hang out with XYZ if you need one thing, or if you guys are going to be doing something, and you'll go, oh, this person will love to do this, but this person won't like to do this.
Yeah, you have friends for different
aspects of
your life. So
we understand that in the friendship aspect, but we tend to lose that in the
business,
in the relationship, both in relationship like in a dating relationship and a business relationship. We expect like, oh, I have this great idea, we're great at this, and I want to present it, and we're going to work great together. But do we have the same principles? Because you may turn around and say, wow, all I care about is making money and getting rich, and the other person may turn around and say, oh no, I have a voice that I want to make sure I would do this for free.
Yeah.
Right there, you already have a clash in principle. So unless you're very in tune with this is what we want, and trust me, making money is not a bad thing, but there has to be, you have to come to a middle ground. And because if not, down the road, it will bring problems because your principles are so unaligned. And I think that's huge. And you both are lucky in business because although there's disagreements on creativity and process, what works is that you both have the same principles and values. You share that immensely. So it's not like you're both in opposite sides of the spectrum, that you're not trying, you're trying to do something. You both have the same purpose in mind, which is, you know, I want to help people. I want to groom them. I want to share my successes with, you know, the world. This worked for me. Improv, Angelica, has worked for you incredibly. So, and that's what you look for. So I think it's pretty cool. And these again are the amazing coffee discussions.
We started with what are intellectuals, and now we're on careers. Which brings us to our first fact about coffee. We will do these little things throughout the podcast, give you little side facts about coffee. First fact about coffee. Like Angelica said, they used to be used for intellectual conversations between people at a university, and they were seen as scholastic events amongst people. That's your fun fact. And that is basically what Procaffeinators is, everybody. Join us next time where we talk about goodness knows what, because as you can see, we got a lot to say.
So there are only good things to
moves us.
Yeah, wherever the coffee brings us is where we will land.
We will look at the coffee beans and follow their lead.
Oh my goodness. I'm like Hansel and Gretel leaving little coffee crumbs.
I was thinking about like reading the tea leaves at the bottom, like in Harry Potter.
Yes.
Okay. See, we're doing it again. So my name is Alexandra.
I'm Angelica.
And I'm Amy.
And we are the Procaffeinators. Anyways.
The Procaffeinators.
Thank you for joining us, you guys. We can't wait to talk with you again soon.
Yeah. See you. Hear you next time. Bye.